And he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We live in a world that is measured in large part by success. And when we talk about success in our world, and when we think about successful people, we are often thinking about people who have made great sums of money or have gotten to a position where they have a great amount of power and responsibility. The most successful people in our world are usually those who have both of those things, money and power. In fact, if you look up the word successful in the thesaurus, the synonyms are as follows: prosperous, affluent, wealthy, rich, and the list goes on. This is what our society thinks it means to be successful: money and power. The issue in our society is that this is what we say is the only way to be successful. This is the sole way in which we define it. And if you are successful in this world, you are have what we call a good life, which largely consists of a life full of material possessions, anything that one could ever want. The problem with this is that study after study shows that there is more and more people who are living the good life in our society who are deeply unhappy, who are functioning alcoholics, who are clinically depressed, and suffer from many other mental health issues. The problem in our world is even further compounded because we now have generations of young people who have been told from birth that this is what it means to be successful and to live a good life, and that if you don't have money and power, then you are not successful. You don't have a good life. The problem is made even worse further by the fact that we are moving into a world which is harder and harder economically to attain this distorted view of the good life. So in reality, the problem is twofold. We live in a world which says success is money and power, and this good life is distorted, and we are moving into a place where one cannot even attain this distorted view of success and a good life if they wanted to. Now, this outlook on life just described is very different from the outlook in life that we find in the Gospel of Jesus. In our Gospel reading for today, we see a very different outlook on life presented, where success and what it means to have a good life is defined in very, very different terms. In our Gospel reading for today, we find our Lord at the beginning of his ministry in Galilee. This is where his earthly ministry begins and where most of his work takes place. This is our first clue that success means something different in our gospel than it does in today's world. At the time of Jesus, the Galilee was not a popular place. In fact, it was quite the opposite. It was a backwater in one of those forgotten places of the world, the ones that have problems that never end, and those places where people just pass through, perhaps begrudgingly. Galilee was also a place that the religious establishment of Israel did not like and did not care for, because it was a place that had lots of Gentiles, those who worshipped all sorts of different gods, philosophies, and ways of life. But our reading from Isaiah and from the Gospel today both describe this region full of a people who sit in darkness, but that have seen a great light. And of course, we know that this light is Jesus Christ. So this is interesting that this is where our Lord chooses to exercise his ministry. This is where he chooses to spend his time, this forgotten place. This is the place on our planet of all the places where salvation comes from. This is a very different idea of success and the good life than we find in our present world. So the message of Jesus begins in this region, but it is brought to a whole world. And this is the message of Jesus. A message that we desperately need today. It is quite simple. Jesus says to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, over the history of the church, countless scholars have had great debates about the kingdom of heaven and what Jesus is referring to when he talks about the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus talks about and preaches about is not a physical space or geographical place, but rather it is a universal order. It is a reordering of everything in the universe, where everything is set and put right, where God's rule extends over all of creation, where his commands and his laws are followed. And when this happens, everything in the world will be right because all of creation will be following and acting the way that God intended us to act. The kingdom of heaven is the complete opposite to the idolatry and worship of the self that we find in our culture today. The kingdom of heaven is the realm in which God is ruler, in which all of creation is focused on him and his ways rather than the wisdom of this world. Success in the kingdom of heaven is different. It is defined by God and his grace and his mercy, and not by us and our actions. Jesus, in our reading from the Gospel of Matthew today, as I say, is at the very start of his ministry. He has just been baptized, and he is starting to go to these towns and villages, teaching and healing and exorcising demons and making disciples. Today in our reading, we also see that he is starting to put his ragtag group of people together, his followers, who will follow him and spread his gospel once he is gone to heaven. We read in our gospel today that they immediately leave everything and follow Jesus when they are called. There is an urgency to the work that Jesus is about. I often wonder when I read these passages, do we as a church undertake our kingdom work with the same urgency that the first disciples did? Do we view it as an urgent matter that we share the gospel with those who have not heard the message, that we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and bring the kingdom to suffering people of our world? Should and are we about the work of Christ and his church with urgency? Just something to reflect and think about. We can also see from our text today that following Jesus and being made a disciple is a whole reorientation of one's life. The disciples leave everything that they have ever known and change their whole life in an instant. Following Jesus for them changes how they spend their time, how they spend their resources and money, how they relate to others around them, their family life. Everything is changed. Again, I ask the question, what are the changes that we have made in our own life to follow Jesus? Again, something to reflect on. C.S. Lewis, that famous Christian theologian, Anglican, by the way, says this. He says, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Let me say that again. Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. When I reflect on that quote and my own life, even as a priest, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we all fall into the moderate camp, don't we? How have we reordered our life to follow Jesus? How we spend our time, relate to other people, how we use our money? Do we view this message of Jesus as the gospel of infinite importance? Or do we treat it as moderately important, which it cannot be? If Jesus truly died and rose again on the cross to open a way to heaven for all the people of the earth, to bring about his kingdom where all things are made right, if we believe that is true, and I assume most of us do because we are here today, do we view it with infinite importance? And do we make it the center of our lives? I'll read that quote again, just again to reflect. Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Ultimately, we can see that being a disciple of Jesus is about a life of service to God. Being an obedient servant is very hard, especially in our culture today. But that is what Christ has called us to do and to be. And that won't happen overnight, but happens over time as we slowly become more and more like our Lord. Jesus said to the first disciples, he says to us, simply follow me. And if we choose to follow that Jesus, we should change everything about us. It should change everything about us, because we will no longer be living for our own success and our own self-interest, but for the kingdom. It should become of infinite importance to our lives. This is not an easy road, and Jesus tells us that himself. But Jesus says still to us, follow me. So let us together, this ragtag group of people, just like the first disciples following Jesus walk down that long, hard road. And let us together proclaim that gospel, that good news of the kingdom to all people, if it really is of infinite importance to us and to the world in which we live. Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Amen.